Irvine, Washington, Tuesday, March 10th, 2009. Hello again from the nation's capital. I'm Greg Corumbus. In this edition, Congress takes up the union card check bill. We'll talk with Oklahoma Congresswoman Mary Fallon about Republican opposition to this plan, which they say is a suppression of the secret ballot. We'll also hear what the Republican alternative to this legislation is, get her thoughts on the latest economic ideas, and find out why she's decided to run for the highest office in her state. Congresswoman Mary Fallon joins us in just a moment. Also in this edition, an interview with the brand new congresswoman from Wyoming. Representative Cynthia Lummis is with us to talk about the $410 billion earmark-laden stimulus plan, which is clearing Congress and will soon fund the government through the end of the current fiscal year. Plus, Obama and education. The president addresses another complicated subject today as he calls for a five-tier reform of the nation's schools. We'll talk about his ideas and what works best in the classroom with Marcus Winters of the Manhattan Institute. And despite a free fall on Wall Street, consumer optimism is actually a little bit up this month. We'll find out why when we talk with Ken Shreve of Investors Business Daily, which helped to conduct the poll. All that plus Tuesday's top stories is straight ahead, but we begin with our chat with Oklahoma Congresswoman Mary Fallon, and that begins right now. My first guest in this edition is Oklahoma Congresswoman Mary Fallon. She's a Republican representing the Sooner State's 5th Congressional District. Today we want to get her thoughts on the latest economic moves by the Obama administration and the democratically controlled Congress. We also want to talk about her opinion, which she has made well known about the Employee Free Choice Act, also known as Union Card Check, which has now been introduced on Capitol Hill. And we want to talk about the breaking news about the Congresswoman that she has declared her candidacy for governor of her state for the 2010 election. And Congresswoman, thanks so much for being with us.
Well, it's always a pleasure to be with you, Greg. Thank you.
Let's start with the union bill. We've heard a lot about this. We even heard a lot about this before Election Day, that this would be pretty high on the Democratic agenda. The supporters of this call it the Employee Free Choice Act. The opponents call it the Employee Forced Choice Act. Explain for our listeners exactly what this legislation wants to do.
Well, this legislation would say that employees of a company who have a vote on whether to unionize or not would no longer be able to do their vote in secret, that they would have to sign a petition card that would be available for the union bosses to see whether they want to unionize or not. You know, when you and I go to the poll, we go to the poll and we get in a booth and we mark our ballot about how we feel about issues or who we want to vote for in secret. We don't have to stand up to the crowd and say, here's how I vote. But yet the unions and the Democrat leadership is trying to take that right of a secret ballot away from the employees of companies. And, you know, if someone wants to unionize, that's fine. Let them have the vote to do that, but they should be able to cast their vote in the privacy and in secret rather than having to tell the union bosses whether they want to unionize or not.
Now, the unions and the Democratic, and I imagine there's some Republican supporters of this on Capitol Hill as well, say this is really just greasing the skids for companies to be able to unionize. What do they say in response to your criticism that you're really taking the secret ballot away from workers?
Well, they're saying that if you take that right away, that we could see an increase, of course, in union membership and unionization of companies, but they're also saying it could cause job loss. They're saying it would be bad for business. They're saying it would be, you know, unfair. We know it's unfair for the employee itself. It's undemocratic. And yet, in a time when we're going through a national recession, people are very concerned about the economy. We're concerned about stock markets and values of companies and the market itself. Here we are looking at a policy that could really harm businesses and harm the way they do business.
Why do you think this was such a huge political priority? Why was it even mentioned so excitedly prior to Election Day, in addition to all the major issues that we're dealing with in this country?
Well, I mean, I think it's a little bit of a payback for special interest groups who fund different political parties, just to be real blunt with you. And I know it's been one of their top agenda items on the Democrat side to do more favors, political favors, for the unions themselves. And once again, if a company wants to unionize or employee wants to choose to join a union, that's their right, and they should have that right, but they should have the right to be able to do it in a democratic way, to be able to cast their vote in secret, and not to feel coerced or have any retribution as to how they might have voted.
So what is the Republican alternative to this, Congresswoman? Is it just a matter of fighting against this particular legislation, or do you have another idea that would be best to go forward here legislatively?
We have actually proposed a separate piece of legislation called the Employee Secret Ballot Protection Act, which would actually ensure the ongoing right of all workers to be able to have a secret ballot.
And what is the status right now on the Hill in terms of votes? Is this something that you believe the majority simply has the votes to pass, or is it something that some blue dogs, moderate Democrats, might side with the vast majority of Republicans?
Well, the Democrat leaders certainly have the votes in the House as far as numbers-wise go. Would the Democrats be able to pass this piece of legislation if they choose to? And I'm not sure, you know, whether there are enough votes opposed to it to stop the piece of legislation. We're hearing that it will come forth this week for a vote, and so we're just waiting to see, you know, when that vote will be held.
Well, let's move on to some other issues now, Congresswoman. And of course, the economy remains issue number one. We've seen the stock market tank all the way down to about 6,500. It's having a pretty good day today. In terms of the administration's response, we saw the stimulus package. We saw a $3.6 trillion budget blueprint. We're seeing calls for $75 billion for homeowner assistance. Obviously, the price tag's huge, and the Republicans have been standing firm on the principle of fiscal discipline. What do you see as the impact of what's already been approved?
Well, if you watch the stock market, of course, today it's up a little bit because Citigroup announced that they're going to see a little bit of a profit. But if you've been watching the stock market since the president took office, it's actually had a 31% decline since Election Day and a $1 trillion loss in the stock market since President Obama took office. And, of course, what we've been hearing out of Washington, D.C. is more massive new federal government spending, more big government, and moving more towards nationalism of different types of industries. And that is, in my opinion, scaring the marketplace and scaring the people and scaring banks who are freezing up their assets and causing the market itself to slow down. And so, you know, the more we do of talking here about higher taxes and more federal spending, we just believe that's not going to cure the economy, and the American people are not buying it.
During the debate on the stimulus package, Congresswoman, the Republicans pointed out that the Congressional Budget Office looked at your alternative plan and declared it would create twice as many jobs for half the price of what the Democrats were putting forward and eventually passed, of course. What about on some of these other issues that have been talked about moving forward as far as a budget alternative, perhaps a different approach to health care reform, or perhaps stopping and dealing with the economy before moving on to some of these other domestic initiatives that the president's been talking about?
Well, we did put forth a stimulus package on the Republican side that basically was tax cuts and cutting spending, and it would have cut taxes for the taxpayer, it would have cut taxes for businesses, it would have cut back on capital gains tax to try to get more American businesses to spend their money here in the United States and to stimulate the economy. We had all kinds of ideas that were out there floating that were on the side of actually giving the taxpayers and the businesses more of their money to keep to circulate within the economy itself. On the other side was more big government, more big brother, more new federal government spending. Some of the federal agencies have had their budgets actually double with all this stimulus program spending, the omnibus programs, of course, the massive amount of new earmarks that were in the omnibus that just passed last week. And so what people are seeing is, just big government, big spending, and it's scaring them. And then we talk about health care, as you mentioned. There's been talk with President Obama's health care task force that met last week about nationalizing, socializing our medical system, and that's of great concern. There was a huge amount of money that was in his stimulus package to work towards the nationalization of health care. And then, of course, you even talk about cap and trade or energy and production and the new proposals for cap and trade and taxes upon the energy industry, when here we are as a nation talking about how important it is for us to reduce our dependence upon foreign oil. We're actually talking about removing tax provisions for oil and gas production and for manufacturing that would actually increase taxes on the industry by about $60 billion. And so we're talking about a lot of massive new government programs, new tax increases on small businesses. It is estimated that 50% of the tax increases that we will see will affect small businesses. And so we're going through some major direction changes for our nation, and I really truly believe that's why we're seeing so much reaction in our marketplaces.
A couple minutes left with Oklahoma Congresswoman Mary Fallon. And Congresswoman, let's get to the big news for you of the past few days, and that's your decision to seek the governorship of Oklahoma. You've been in Congress for a couple of terms, and our regular listeners will know you've spent many years in state politics in Oklahoma before that. What made you decide that 2010 was the right year for you to go for the top job in Oklahoma?
Well, I'm real excited about having the opportunity to go home and run for governor. I have served 12 years in a statewide elected position as lieutenant governor, and now 4 years, we'll finish 4 years in Congress. And so I'd like to go back home and use my executive branch experience and my experience here in Washington, D.C. to help move Oklahoma towards a more prosperous economy, to work on government reform and issues that will help businesses be able to create jobs and flourish and reform our government system itself. And you know, I want to go back home and send a message to the rest of the nation that Oklahoma is ready and open for business, and I think there are many things we can do, such as lawsuit reform, workers' compensation reform, improving education, and looking at health care costs, those types of initiatives that we can model for the rest of the nation as initiatives to help move us forward as a state.
Obviously, there are certain challenges that affect the whole country right now, particularly in economic terms. What do you see as the biggest keys to get Oklahoma's economy humming again?
You know, we've been very fortunate, Greg, in Oklahoma to have a little bit better economy than most of the nation. But you know, one of the things we don't want to do is do harm to business. And some of the proposals we're talking about here in Washington, D.C. would actually harm business, whether it's small business, whether it's the energy sector that's very important to Oklahoma, whether it's some of the new rules and regulations like cap and trade. Just do no harm to business so that businesses can grow and flourish and create jobs.
Congresswoman, unfortunately, our time is up. Congratulations on your upcoming bid for governor, and thanks, as always, for your time with us.
Well, thank you. It's a pleasure to be with you.
Oklahoma Congresswoman Mary Fallon represents her state's 5th congressional district. This is Dateline Washington.